Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Good afternoon, Phoenix! It's 1 minute after 5 o'clock. On Thursday, December 11th, 2008. Hey, gang, welcome to the Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton. And yes, it's the Christmas season, and we've got the fabulous, well, I shouldn't use that word too easily. I mean, that term fabulous belongs to only the fabulous Natasha. What's up, baby?
Hi, I'm fabulous. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous too. And this is the incredible Patty Austin easing us into the Christmas season. And, of course, sitting in the studio with Eric behind the glass. What's up, my man?
What's happening?
It's all about you, brother. I heard you are something of a songwriter. Is that true, Eric?
Oh, for my part.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to find out a little
bit
about
that. Not professional or anything.
Well, what's professional? You know? Hey, gang, welcome to the show. We've got a great show on tap for you today. And listening to the fabulous Miss Patty Austin, she is just an amazing performer. Everyone knows that she finished a Broadway tour recently, or a Broadway run, where she did a show where she did all of Ella Fitzgerald's songs. I mean, even in the voice and the scat and the whole deal. She is amazing. And we all are familiar with her duets with the great James Ingram and pairing up with Quincy Jones in years past. Bringing us into the Christmas season, Patty Austin. My name is Mac Newton, and I'm the host of what hopefully is becoming one of your favorite shows on the internet or in any medium, The Power Hour. Let me hear a little bit more of that there, Eric. With Patty in this, there's Phil Perry on the background vocals. And those of you who are familiar with jazz, you know that Phil Perry is a tremendous artist in himself, in his own right. Anyway, from 1997, This Christmas, written by Donny Hathaway. Right now, a Christmas classic. And we are certainly proud to have it here on the Power Hour. As I said, we've got a great show on tap for you guys today. A little bit more information about the 3-2 eating plan. And we're going to recap a topic we finished up last week, talking about the 7 mental exercises for you to think like a winner and act like a winner. Get started on our new topic entitled Quantum Leaps. Just a fabulous, fabulous show. You know, but before we get started, I want to just give a shout out to a really special friend, Davey Nelson, who was a coach with me with the Oakland A's. Back in the day. Now, I can say back in the day, Eric, because once you can say back in like the 70s or the 80s, that's back in the day. When I hear kids today going, well, you know, back in the day, what they're talking about is like 2004. That's not back in the day. Come on. But anyway, David Nelson, who's not a broadcaster for the Milwaukee Brewers, we were chatting on the phone just the other day, kind of catching up on old times, and great to hear his voice. What a great guy, just a tremendous human being. And hopefully we'll have, if we get lucky, we'll be able to have him as a guest here on the Power Hour. Hearing the final few frames on the This Christmas with Patty Austin, one of our musical guest hosts here on the Power Hour, as we like to introduce to our listening audience on a weekly basis to some of the greatest jazz and blues performers in the world. It's just a wonderful thing. You know, in talking about jazz and blues, there are rules to writing like certain kinds of songs. Like Eric, you were telling me earlier about there's rules to writing a Christmas song, right?
I mean, well, the rules I made up.
Well, it sounded pretty good to me. You know, what are some of the things you say have got to be in a Christmas song?
Well, you got to have your jingle bells.
No question.
Yeah. And the little tubular bells in the background.
Without that, I think if you just have those two, you're well on your way.
That's the signifier that a Christmas song is on the way.
Head up, Christmas song right here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then you got to have... I'm blanking on it. What did I say?
Well, you got to have something that refers to missing someone.
You got to have a song. Your loved one is far away, or you're far away from someone, and you got to get that holiday depression in there.
Planes, trains, and automobiles. Yeah. Trying to make it home.
Yeah. Okay. And the descending major scale.
Yeah, you got to have
do,
that.
Do, 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 do,
that all
somewhere
you,
in there, usually with the bells.
Yeah, gives you the feeling that Christmas is here.
Yeah, and then you got to have the lyrics somewhere in there about how it only comes once a year, or it's only here this time of year or something.
There
it's,
you have
it's
it,
gotta
folks.
Have that.
That's the rules you need. That's your schematic diagram for writing a Christmas song. So write yours, send it to me here, and we'll play it. Eric and I'll play it. We've got enough musical talent right here in the studio with Eric on piano. I'll play guitar, and the fabulous Natasha. Wait till you hear her sing. You're in for a treat. But I've got some rules for you. You know, for all you guys out there looking to sing the blues. You know, everyone think they can sing the blues, Eric. But there are rules to singing the blues. All of your great blues songs, all of them start with "Woke up this morning." I mean, really, you know.
Yep.
They all woke up this morning. Well, you know, that shouldn't give you the blues. That should make you feel good because you did wake up. Now, if you didn't wake up, you'd have the blues. But again, how would you know you had the blues because you didn't wake up? So I guess you have to wake up to know you got the blues. Now, I think if you use the term, "I got a good woman," that is not a good way to start a blues song, you know, because it's too positive. Unless you stick something really bad afterwards, like, "I got a good woman, but she's got the meanest dog in town," or "I got a good woman and she just curses all the time." You gotta have something nasty behind it. So "I got a good woman with the meanest dog in town," that would be a good one. But the blues are always simple songs. After you get the first line right, you're gonna keep repeating it and then find something to rhyme with it, you know? Yep. I mean, like, "I got a good woman with the meanest dog in town. He got teeth like Margaret Thatcher, and he weighs about 1,000 pounds. You know, you just get that first line and you just keep working with it. You know, the blues, though, are not about a whole bunch of choices. You know, you don't have a lot of different choices for things that represent the blues, like cars, for example. Certain cars are blues cars. Like, you can't be driving a Mercedes and have the blues.
Right.
You know, it's just not a blues car. You can never have the blues in a Volvo. You know what I mean? Volvos are not
Volkswagen.
Blues. Volkswagen. Exactly. They're not blues cars. You know what are blues cars? Chevys.
Right.
Chevy. Cadillacs are blues cars, too, especially if they're real old.
Broke down. And
yes, exactly. Dirty. You know, really needs a wash job. You know, other acceptable ways of getting around if you got the blues is Greyhound buses.
Yes.
You know, you can definitely have
time
the blues.
Take the Greyhound bus down to the crossroads.
Absolutely. Great. Everyone on a Greyhound bus has got the blues. And if you don't believe it, go get on one, and you will get the blues real fast. If you're going to be on a train, you can get the blues on a train, but it's always got to be southbound.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't get the blues on a northeastbound train. For some reason, it just you're not hit getting the blues when you're heading out to Vermont. You know what I mean? You know, I was taking a northbound train to Vermont and I had the blues. No, it doesn't work.
Vermont's not really blues country.
It just isn't. Yeah. You know, I'll get to that in a second. You know, but you know what? Walking is an acceptable form of transportation if you got the blues. You know, walking is a major part. You know, you're walking down a muddy road. You know, so is fixing the die. You know, if you're fixing the die, you can have the blues. I mean, but you know what? People who can't sing the blues, teenagers cannot sing the blues.
Right.
They can't. They're just not old enough. Adults sing the blues. Blues is an adulthood thing. It's an adulthood medium. I mean, you got to be old enough to get the electric chair if you shot someone in Memphis. You know what I mean? You know, and plus, not just shot somebody, but it's got to be in a blues town.
Yeah.
You just can't shoot somebody any place and get the blues. It's got to be in a blues town, you know.
Detroit.
Detroit is a blues town. You know, Memphis is Chicago. Definitely a blues town, you know. You can get the blues in New York, but you can't get the blues in Queens. That's just not a blues town.
Right.
Or Brooklyn. You got to have, you know, like we said, Vermont, it's kind of hard thinking of Vermont and North Dakota as blues places. What you have there, people get depressed. You know, that's all you got is you got a little depression. You don't have the blues. Now, Chicago, St. Louis, Memphis, and Kansas City. Now, those are the best places to get the blues. You don't believe it? Go there, you know? And there are colors, you know, like you said to someone, man, your eyes were so red. You know, I thought that mean dog was coming after me. That's like the blues color, red. That's the blues color. But, you know, beige is not a blues color. Mauve, it's not a blues color.
That crew.
It isn't. You know, violet, it's not a blues color. You know, it's just not. You know, you can't get the blues. Where places you can't get the blues? In shopping malls. You know, a brand new office building. The lighting is not right to get the blues in those kind of places. Mm-hmm. It's all wrong. The best places to get the blues, you know, is like, of course, if you're in jail.
Oh yeah,
jail is a good place to get the blues. Any jailhouse is a good place to get the blues. Or the highway. If you're walking down a highway in the rain, it's a great place to get the blues. Especially if you're walking south. You know, just you know, other bad places to get the blues. You can't get the blues in an art gallery.
Right.
You know,
right?
I mean, think about it, folks. It's just not. If you're having a weekend up in the Hamptons, you know, it just ain't working. You gotta or an ashram. Can you see someone sitting? It's just not working for me. So anyway, no one gonna believe that you're having the blues if you're having a weekend at the Hamptons. Another thing that you can't convince someone you're having the blues if you show up in a suit, unless you're a real old black man.
Yeah.
You gotta be a real old black man to pull off having the blues with a suit on.
Yeah, you gotta have like a pork pie hat on.
Oh, yes. See, so there are rules to having the blues. And Natasha, you know, with an accent like yours, you're just never gonna convince anyone you got the blues. I mean, you just got, let me say something, babe, just say anything here.
Something.
See,
anything.
There, anything. You know, she's gonna go.
No, it's all new to me about the blues. I didn't know you have to go to jail to listen to it.
Well, I mean, it's but if you're gonna write about it, if you're gonna write a blues song, there are rules to writing these songs. You can understand what I'm saying, right, Eric? You can feel it. You know, you just can't write anything. You know, you can't say I was sitting on my leather couch at home wearing a beige dress. It's just not going to convince anyone, you know. I was laying down in the mud, you know, it was raining on me. I had no shoes. I'm waiting to catch a southbound train, you know, in my tattered black shirt. You know what I mean? You got the blues. See, you know, I mean, you have to have like the right to sing the blues, you know. Yes, you have the right to sing the blues if your first name begins with a southern state, like Georgia. If your name is like Georgia or Florida, you got the right to sing the blues at any time. I don't care. If you're blind, okay, I don't care. If you're blind, you got a right to sing the blues. If you just shot somebody in Memphis, because boy, the jails in Memphis are terrible and everyone there has got the blues. But you do not have the right to sing the blues if you were once blind, but you can now see. That you don't have the right to sing blues anymore. Or you're deaf. People thought that's not the good. Or if you have any kind of a trust fund, you do not have the right to sing the blues. So, you know, like Barbara Streisand and Julio Iglesias cannot sing the blues ever. Never. Cannot sing the blues. Can't do it. You know. So anyway, if you ask your baby for water and she gives you some gasoline, you got the blues. Other beverages associated with the blues, like champagne is never associated with the blues. It's got to be cheap wine. Cheap wine is associated with the blues or muddy water, you know?
Yeah, like old granddad.
Yeah, Irish whiskey, yeah. You know, like, you know, something like that, you know?
Old Crow.
Exactly. That's blues beverages. You can't have some Cristal and have the blues. Yeah. You know, some Dom.
Cosmo.
You know, that's not going to give you the
Appletini.
Blues. Yeah, please. No. Blues beverages are not Cosmos, Appletini, champagne, any mixed drink, you know, or Yoo-hoo. What is that? Any flavor of Yoo-hoo. You cannot have the blues anyway. Okay, but whatever happens in a cheap motel or a shotgun shack, those are places where you can. If you die in a place like that, that's a blues death.
Yep.
So if you like, if you jot down a cheap hotel where they haven't even changed the sheets yet, that was a blues death, you know, stabbed in the back by a jealous lover. That's another blues way to die. Okay, so is the electric chair, you know, or being denied treatment in the emergency room. But if you die because something went wrong during your liposuction, that is not a blues death. You know, you're not dying a blues death.
Yeah.
You know, you can't write a song about someone, you know, about you had a good woman, but she died getting liposuction. No one's going to buy this blues song. Okay, you know, but anyway, some of the rules, I'm going to get emails about this, I can tell you right now. I'm going to blame it on you, Eric.
I had nothing to do with that, folks.
He did, it's all about me.
I will claim the Christmas songs. But
not about the blues song. But if you can write a song, in fact, compose one for me. Oh my gosh. Oh, you know what I forgot this week? We got several emails. I think with some answers. I think I must have sent something in for some people who are going to get I'll check it out and we'll send it. Hey, listen, but I guess we had a little bit of a mess up getting last week's show up on the air, and it didn't get up into the air on the air until I think like last Tuesday. So anyway, pardon me for that. It was just a little slip up, a little technical glitch, but we've got it fixed and we're back romping and rolling. Okay, it's 17 minutes now past the hour, and hopefully wherever you are, it's a beautiful day like it is in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Here, blue skies, wall to wall. You can check that out there. I mean, it's fabulous. We're sitting in my office in our studio, and I can't even see. Can you see a cloud out there? You know,
well, there aren't any clouds in Phoenix.
You know, there's not a cloud.
You don't
anyway.
Get clouds out here.
Wait a minute. There's no. That's just a little whiff of smoke. I think that's. Yeah. You know, I mean, like in Chicago, they get a day like this every 5 or 6 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you just have to be there that day. You know. Anyway, well, again, you know, Davey Nelson, hopefully if you get a chance, check this out. Get back in touch and let me know next time you're going to be in Phoenix. We'll have you on the show. And just keep being the person you are, and I'll make sure I tune in and listen to the Brewers next year and check you out. Other shout-outs, of course, to Ray in SoCal and Albert there in South Florida. And, of course, Mark and Kim right here in Phoenix are regular listeners of the Power Hour, as are our listeners in Ecuador and the Philippines. And we got new listeners in the United Kingdom last week. Keep your emails coming. Send them to me, Mac Newton, at 7, the number 7 spelled out, SEVEN, at MacNewton.com. Also, some things... I noticed this morning we had maybe an email or two wanting more information about the 3-2 eating plan. What we're going to do today is very, very simple. We're just going to review very quickly exactly what the eating plan is and invite you to go to MacNewton.com and to read around that. And we're going to start discussing all of the details and how you can get on the 3-2 and start setting some serious health goals for yourself come the first of the year. The 3-2 eating plan involves 3 things you can eat and 2 things you can drink. The 3 things you can eat are lean source protein. Lean source protein is meat, not a meat substitute like a protein shake or something like that you drink. I want you to eat it, real meat. Lean source protein is meat. I'm talking lamb, fish, poultry, beef, pork. I mean meat on the hoof. Nothing that's been already processed. Nothing in cans. No tuna in cans. Now, I'm not talking about going to your store and get a rotisserie chicken that they've been running around on that thing for about 6 days. No. That food has already been processed. It is injected with all kinds of things to give it flavor and taste while it's been out there for 6 or 7 days. That's not fresh meat. You want fresh, lean source protein. Okay, and you can eat as much of it as you want. Now, if you're going to eat poultry, make sure that you don't eat chicken or turkey breast for one simple reason, gang. It doesn't have as little or no fat. People say, well, isn't that bad for you? No, fat is good for you. It is an essential nutrient. Fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. And when we're talking about carbohydrates, we're not talking about white stuff like potatoes and rice. Those are complex carbohydrates. Let's take the word carbohydrate. Take a molecule of carbon, and you hydrate it. What do you got? You got something green. Carbohydrate. Carbohydrate. You take a molecule of carbon and you hydrate it. That is something green. What we think are carbs today, carbohydrates, are complex carbohydrates like corn and wheat, and they've been processed and then made into something else. Something else like crackers and bread and croutons and gravies. And that's the stuff that makes you fat. Your body manufactures fat. Your liver manufactures it, creates little places to store it, and you never stop storing fat. Eating fat, your body will convert it into energy that your body will use. Consider this. Farmers never give fat to their livestock because it'll make them thin, it'll give them energy, and you won't be able to sell them. They give them corn. They feed them corn and wheat. That's exactly right. That's why we're fat, because we're eating like pigs. That's exactly the reason right there. So, lean source protein, meat, green vegetables, dark green vegetables, and the big five are asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, and collard greens. Okay? Now, any other thing green is good, but you got to have those with every single meal. And, of course, finally, some fruits. Those are your three. The two things you can drink are clear water, 120 ounces a day. A gallon is 128. 120 ounces of water, and you can have 100% fresh fruit juice. Now, one final thing I want to give you is what's called the Mac Shake. Let's teach people how to start their day off. You ever had the Mac Shake there, Natasha?
Of course. I have it every morning.
Do you like it?
I love it. That's my favorite part of treat too.
Is the Mac Shake?
It's Mac Shake.
It's fabulous. It is a tremendous drink. We got to get you on that, Eric. I want you to try one this week. Here's the menu for it, the recipe. 16 ounces of orange juice, a whole banana, half a pear, and half an apple. Liquefy it. Don't put anything else in it. Don't even put ice in it. Just you chill the ingredients, peel the banana, but don't peel the apple or the pear. Put it and liquefy it. You got 32 ounces. Drink it all down, and it's an amazing thing to start your day with. The energy you'll feel and what your body will start to respond to it immediately. So that's breakfast. Start that. And after that, if you're more than 10 pounds overweight, or you've been 5 pounds overweight for more than 5 years, then you don't want to have any more fruit or fruit juice the rest of the day. You're just going to eat meat and dark green vegetables, but have your Mac Shake every day. If you don't fall into that category, then you can have a small amount of fruit with each and every meal. But try that, 120 ounces of water, and you're going to really start seeing your body change really, really fast. Am I close on that, Natasha?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. I mean, your body starts to change immediately. Hey, gang, it's 23 minutes past the hour now. Wherever you are enjoying the Power Hour, we meet every Thursday here at 5 o'clock. And I hope that you're enjoying listening to the Power Hour as much as I enjoy bringing it to you. You know, at this time of the year, and especially at this time in our lives, we're experiencing one of the very important periods. You know, what a lot of people are not getting what this economic time is teaching us. It's important for us to experience something like this. It's telling us that we've been doing a lot of things wrong, and this is giving us an opportunity to change things. I don't see what we're experiencing right now as a bad thing, Eric. I really don't. I know that it's challenging a lot of people, and certainly it is to me as well. However, it's nothing more than an opportunity for us to improve the way we do business, to do the way that we waste products and the way that we waste money and the things that we do that are unnecessary. So I'm going to talk today a little bit about change and how important change is. And that's all that this is encouraging us to do. This economic times, it's not a disaster. It is not the end of the world. We've got to stop being so negative about it. It's an opportunity for us to find a way to do things differently, a way for us to be more efficient in our work, a way for us to get more with less. Stephen Covey said, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we were getting. You know what? Do we want to keep doing the stuff we were doing before? The tremendously wasteful habits we had. Look at the auto industry. Isn't it about time that we stop entering into all of those ridiculously wasteful agreements with the various unions that we could not afford? We can't keep on doing this. This is just a time saying we need to change, that we need to do things differently. We need to create alternative sources of energy to borrow a catchphrase or a very trendy saying, we need to become more green. We need to find better ways of heating our homes and making sure our homes are well insulated. This is not a time that says we're in trouble. It's just a time that says we need to change some things. Brian Tracy wrote, "The more you do of what you're doing, the more you get of what you got." Do we really want to get more of what we were getting? No, we don't. Well, what they're both saying is this: if you want a different result, you got to do something different first. In other words, we need to change. And that's all these times are. It's just a good opportunity for us to change. And that doesn't bother me. But for most folks, change is scary. Change scares a lot of people. It's frightening. We often fear change because we think we will be worse off as a result of this change than we were before the change. I mean, if you're leaving work one day and the boss says to you, "Hey, I want to see you in my office first thing tomorrow. We're going to make some changes around here." Well, you know what? Scares you to death. You may not be able to even sleep that night. But yet, change of all kinds is inevitable. But you can ensure that change will always be for the better if you can control the direction of change rather than allowing change to control you. Here's a question. What happens to water at 211 degrees Fahrenheit? Do you know, Natasha? Do you know what happens to water at 211 degrees? Eric, how about you? Do you know what happens?
It boils.
No, it doesn't. Not very much happens at all at 211. It gets hot, and maybe it has a few little needle points, but for the most part, it just lays there. But if you add one more degree, just one more degree, and the same water begins to boil. Water boils at 212. At 211, nothing happens. What I'm saying is this is an increase in heat of less than one half of 1%, but it takes it from just being hot water to steam. Look at the change it generates. It goes from just sitting there to boiling. Peter Vidmar, the great American gymnast, said that in the 1984 Olympics, he missed winning a silver medal by 25 one-hundred-thousandths of a point. And that's a difference half as great as the differences between hot water and steam. The great racehorse John Henry won all of his races over a 10-year span and also won over $7 million for his owners. The nearest competitor to John Henry over the same span finished second, but won only $600,000 for his owners, even though he lost by an average of only 0.3 of a second per race. Well, you know what my point is right now, don't you, folks? Of course. In order to make big changes in yourself, in order to have big results in yourself, you don't need to change anything really big. Look to make small changes. Big changes are scary. They intimidate me. But I feel I can handle something small, and small changes make big differences. So, and one more thing you can do to take control of change: institute change when things are going well. Some people say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Oh man, when someone says that, I know I'm talking to a loser. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If you wait till it's broke to fix it, so much is lost during the downtime. You don't have to be sick to get better. You don't want to lose your momentum. You don't want to lose your focus. Things are much easier to change when they're not broke. That's why I've always said, you don't have to be sick to get better. And this is a time for us. Now, we're maybe a little sick now, but that's okay. That's why I said it shouldn't scare folks. We should have made these changes long ago. Now, it's being said to us very, very clearly, it's important that we make some changes. That's all we have to do. And I think we're all up to that. Isn't that kind of cool? 211 degrees, nothing happens. The water's hot. One more degree. One more degree, Eric, you know what happens then? Now you can make steam. And steam can push ocean liners across the ocean. It can move the earth, move mountains with earth movers. Steam. The music, that tells me that we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. 29 minutes past the hour. Is that correct, old Eric? He's nodding his head and telling me that it's time for us to get ready to take a break for the cause and let you two, let everyone who's listening just relax for a bit and while we hear a word from our sponsor. Hey, gang. I know you guys like listening to the Power Hour, and we like bringing it to you. I was talking to my co-author today, Michelle St. George, who's helped me write two books that meant the world to me to supply to the world, A Path to Power and The D Factor. And she says, how exactly do you see the website? How do you see MacNewton.com? Well, Michelle, I see it as a place where winners go. I see it a place where people go to be inspired to get the most out of themselves, to just feel their pulse quicken, to feel that they feel like getting up in the morning, that tomorrow holds the promise for everything that didn't happen yesterday, that holds promise of the things that we can do. With answers, we have answers. You've got questions, we've got some answers for you. And we're going to encourage you to come up with even more questions. That's 7, S-E-V-E-N, at MacNewton.com. That's the email address to the website. And the website itself is MacNewton.com. www.MacNewton.com sponsors the Power Hour every Thursday at 5 o'clock. Go where all winners go and read about the things that they want to hear, to find out challenges, to see ways that other people have solved problems that they're dealing with right now, to find out ways to challenge yourself more effectively, to always put yourself in position to get better, to learn how to be unafraid to face the things you need to face, challenges, and create opportunities for the future. www.MacNewton.com, the website where winners go. You go there, and soon you too will be a winner. Hey, gang, welcome back. This is Mac. My name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. I get so many emails where people are not looking necessarily for an answer. They just want to tell me thanks for doing it. And some of them are really, really heartfelt. And I want you guys to know that I really enjoy doing the show, and we're not going to stop anytime soon. It is 32 minutes past the hour here in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. If you've not been to Phoenix, plan a trip. But don't come in the summertime. It gets serious. It gets serious out here. Have you ever been in temperatures 112? Eric, what is your favorite temperature here in the valley? Some people like it really hot, like me. I like it really, really hot. What's your favorite temperature?
I'm finding that I prefer it cooler.
Really?
Yeah, there was a time when I didn't mind the heat so much, but yeah, I think that's over.
How long have you been here in the valley?
I haven't been here very long, but I lived down in Tucson for 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It's just something about being here. It's just something about the mysticism, it seems, of the valley. How long have you been in Arizona, Natasha?
Actually, next year it will be 10 years.
Do you like the heat at all? I mean, I know you're from Russia, but do you like the heat at all?
I don't like too hot, but I sure love when it's 90 and till 100 degrees.
Yeah, that's best.
Over 100, that's not my temperature. But lower than 90, I don't like it much either.
So you have a pretty narrow range. You've got like between a 90 and 100. In other words, she likes it in June, you know, or late May. That's about it. You know? So then she's out of town, gang. To me, I like it when it's 90. I like it when it's 85. I call 80 degrees the Mac Daddy line, because when it's under 80, it's too cold for the Mac Daddy. Over 80, I'm enjoying it. Once it gets over 100 to 105, 108, that is my time, Eric. I love that. It's just, you can just absorb the heat. Over 114, I think you just found my limit. You did. Okay, well, on the first half of the show, our monologue was changed. Now, that's an example of something. If you liked hearing it, you can send it to a friend. You can go to the website, and you can download it and print it out. Send it to a friend. See what they think about it. You don't have to actually argue with them yourself. As I promised you at the top of the show, we are going to recap. We're going to recap the previous four shows in which we talked about 7 ways in which you can become more successful. 7 very effective mental exercises that you can do on a regular basis to improve the quality of your life, to improve the quality of your work. Number one, just to recap, successful, happy, healthy, and of course, highly paid people think and talk about what they want and how they want to get it most of the time. In other words, successful people think about the future. They idealize, they visualize, and they imagine what their ideal futures will look like. That's what they do. That's number one. They think about the future. They're future oriented. They're future oriented. They're always thinking about how things are going to be. People who are failures have no idea where they're going to be next week at this time. Successful people always know where they're going to be. They're talking about it. They're visualizing it. And that's also another key point, Eric, we talked about earlier in the show, was the ability to visualize and get other people to buy into that vision. Okay. Highly productive people are also goal-oriented. They decide what they want. They write it down. They set a deadline, and they make a plan, and they work on it every day. 2 points of this are key. When you set a goal, you have to write it down. If you don't write it down, it's not a goal. It's simply a wish. Now, you know what I'm saying there. Of course you do. If you listen to me at all, you know when you say you wish for something, you say, oh, I wish I could finish my education. I wish I could lose this weight. I wish I could be more like you. End of the sentence is, but I know I can't. I wish I could finish my education, but I know I can't. I wish I could get a better job, but I know I can't. I wish I could double my income, but I know I can't. Successful people never talk like that. They simply set a goal. They set a goal to double their income. They set a goal to lose their weight. They set a goal to finish your education. They write it down, and here's another key point. They set a deadline. Even if you just walk up to your house one day and you drive up to your house, you look at it and you go, I need to paint the house. I need to paint the house. I'm going to go to the store tomorrow. I'm going to get the paint. I'm going to get the paintbrush. I'm going to get the poles. I'm going to get this thing painted. In fact, I'm going to finish it by next weekend. You know what you've just done? You set a goal. You set a goal, and you set a deadline on it. When you set a deadline, it gets done. People in the broadcasting business, people in the newspaper business understand the importance of deadlines. They don't just say it has to be in. It's got to be in by this time. If you're not back in the studio with your show ready to air by 4:30, it's not going to get on 6 o'clock news, period, end of story. No other way about it. That's called the deadline. And it means it's called a deadline for a reason. After that time, it's dead. Set a deadline. A time that it absolutely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, has to be done. Has to be done. Set a deadline and then make a plan and work on it every single day. That's what winners do. Another point. The highest paid people, the happiest people, the most productive people, the most creative people are excellence oriented. It was about, I don't know if I'd mentioned it to you, Eric, maybe last week I did. But a very good friend of mine, a really nice guy who's in my industry, the physical fitness industry. He called me up and he actually asked if I needed any trainers. Well, I teach all my own classes. And I said, no, I don't. I said, what happened? You started your own business. He says, well, the economy is terrible. I have to shut it down. I said, you have to shut it down. I said, come on now. Do you recall our first conversation we had when you were first going into business and you asked me the things you needed? He says, yes. Do you remember what I told you? He says, no. I said, the very first thing you have to do before you open your doors is become really, really good at what you do. You've got to get really, really good at what you do. And all successful people are that. All of the highest paid people are that. They're very good. They are excellence oriented. They are constantly getting better, and they are dedicated to working on the one skill, that one area that can help them make the greatest improvement, the greatest contribution in their work. And so I'm thinking, from what I've heard, you didn't do that. You were looking for ways to make more money. But don't you know that the money follows excellence? Excellence orientation is something that has to happen first. Well, it's gone now. Maybe he can still learn the lesson. The most successful people are excellence-oriented. They are constantly working on the skill areas that make them better. Losers, what do losers work on? They're constantly doing things that bring them very, very little. They get better and better and better over time at things that do very little for them. They're getting better and better at stuff that's meaningless until they're absolute experts at something that bring them absolutely nothing. Well, I'm really good at that. Oh, yeah, what does it do for you? Nothing. Is that working for you? You got to be kidding me. We've got to figure out those key areas. Those key areas. In fact, I think it was, South Florida keeps jumping up to mind. Albert in South Florida wrote me an email a couple weeks ago saying that I touched a sore spot. And I said, you got to figure out the key areas for you, the key areas, the one or two things that you need to get better at. Those two little things, they're not big, two little things that's going to make you
more productive, that's going to make you a better person. And then you've got to practice doing them to where they become habitual. The most successful people are also result-oriented. They are intensely focused on getting the most important results. They are intently focused on getting the results that is expected from them in their work. They're result-oriented. How did that turn out? Did I get the results I wanted? I teach 14 classes a week, Eric. 14 classes, all an hour and a half long, some longer. Now, I'm not counting my Taekwondo classes. I do five of those a week. Every time I walk off the floor, and that's 19 classes, every time I walk off the floor, I ask myself the question, did I get the result from that class I wanted? Did I get the result that I wanted? Did it turn out exactly as I wanted it to at the beginning of that class? If it didn't, I ask myself why. And how can I change things to make it better? Every single time, did I get the result that I wanted? And every show that I've done here on The Power, I've done the same thing. And you know it, Eric. You sit right over there and you've seen me struggle with this from the beginning. How can I get a better result? What can we do to get a better result from this show? And we keep trying to make it better every show. And I think we're doing exactly that. I think successful people are result-oriented, intensely so. They're continually increasing their value by doing more and more things of greater and greater importance, all for one reason. Bottom line, what are the results? Bottom line, Natasha, bottom line, the results are what we're looking for. Bottom line. The people who are the happiest, the people who are the most optimistic, are also solution-oriented. They are problem solvers. Remember I said to you last week as we were finishing this up, you know, when I said, look at your business card, what does it say? You know, it said, district manager, area crew chief. What it should be, it should say, problem solver. That's what your business card should say. Because whenever someone calls you up on the phone, what they're asking for is help. They're saying, can you help me? Can you solve my problem? That's all they want to know. Can you solve my problem? When you call a store, you want to find someone. If you call in on the phone and you're looking to get someone, boy, I sure hope I can get to someone who can help me. You get to someone and then sometimes you just hang up and call back. Maybe you get a different person. And finally you get to someone that says, I can solve your problem. And you go, I finally got someone who's a problem solver. When people who work in my office, when they answer the phone, they say, like Lisa, if you call my office, she'll say, good afternoon, this is Newton Fitness. My name is Lisa. I can help you. Not may I help you, but I can help you. That's the way we answer the phone. In other words, we're telling people right there that we are going to solve your problem. Whatever problem you have, I can solve it. And I want to send that message because all successful people are solution-oriented. They keep their minds positive. They keep their minds creative. And they are forward-thinking by always looking for ways to solve problems rather than doing what losers do, which is blame other people, blame other situations for their problems. Now, once you start solving bigger problems, you start getting bigger paychecks. And that's a fact, Jack, okay? Now, you can say, up to now, we've talked about maybe five different things. Up to now, we've been adding them together. You know, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. Well, now, we're going to get to the multiplier. We're going to get to the one thing that is the key element, maybe the attitude. The multiplier that makes all the other orientations work, all the other things we've talked about. I'm talking about excellence orientation, result orientation, solution orientation. I'm talking about goal orientation and future orientation, all the other orientations that we've talked about up to this point. The multiplier that works, makes them work, that makes them the best is growth orientation. Growth orientation. And it was at this point last week where I mentioned to you that great grandma had always used to say to me, as long as you're alive, live. And it's very similar to what Will Rogers said in his very last speech that he ever delivered. He said, Lord, let me live until I'm dead. Now, do you know what they were both talking about? I know what both of them were talking about. They were talking about some of the very people you and I know. You know what? They were born in the 50s and they died in the 80s. And they'll be buried somewhere in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. They've already been dead for a while. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Yep. Those are the people that who don't want to be confused with the facts. I've got my mind made up. I know everything there is to know about this business, so don't try to tell me anything about it. I already know it all. These are the people who are stuck in a rut. And you know what a rut is, don't you? A rut is nothing but a grave with the ends kicked out. That's what Brian Tracy loves to say. It's a grave with the ends kicked out. It's one thing to get into a rut, and it's an altogether different thing to stay in a rut. The way to stay out of a rut is by understanding that we don't go through life, we grow through life. And that's what great grandma used to say to me. Don't just go through life, boy. You want to grow through life. You want always want to keep getting better. And that's the multiplier, gang. That's the multiplier. That you're always improving. You see yourself as your most precious resource. You are, and you realize that you're your most valuable asset. The more you invest in yourself, the greater is your return. Not just in money. That's just part of the equation. But I'm talking about satisfaction, personal satisfaction. I'm talking about personal fulfillment. I'm talking about that feeling that you are alive and that you are making the most of the person you were put here to be. Develop yourself continually, day after day after day. I mean, the same way as if you were training for a competition. Just like people ask me sometime today, why are you working out so hard? You don't compete anymore. Sure I do. Sure I do. I'm competing with life. I'm training to live. I'm training to stay alive. Yeah, I do. Oh, just because I don't step in the ring anymore doesn't mean I'm going to slow down my training. The results I had and the kind of body I had and the health I experienced when I was training, I loved that. I became addicted to it, and I'm greedy for more of it. So you want to use the multiplier. Growth orientation. Take the great grandma approach to life. Don't just go through it, folks. Grow through it. Grow through life. Don't be like so many people you know who are already in their grave. They're just calling it a rut. Oh, I'm in a rut for a while. Oh, well, like Brian Tracy says, a rut's nothing more but a grave with the ends kicked out, and all you need now is have some dirt thrown over you. So the way I see it is, regardless of what you've already accomplished or failed to accomplish so far in life, if you're in a growth posture, if you're growing, a growth orientation, the best is yet to come for you. I don't care what it is you're doing. You put yourself in a growth posture, the best is yet to come. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are. If you're still growing, the best is yet to come. In fact, anything is possible if you're still growing. So, great grandma's right. You don't go through life. You grow through life. It is 12 minutes before the hour on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. You know what? Sometimes, I know we had a little rain at Thanksgiving, you know, Eric, but we haven't had any since. I mean, we had a few sprinkles. They were predicting a torrential downpour. Well, it never showed up. We had I think on Tuesday we got a little rain. Wednesday and Thursday we got some more sprinkles. And I think it was sprinkling while we were on the show on Thanksgiving, wasn't it? Wasn't it rainy?
Don't remember.
I think it was raining. Do you remember, Natasha?
It was raining,
yes. Yeah, I think it was raining while we were on the show. But you know what? For the most part, this is it. This is it right here. What you're seeing is Phoenix, Arizona. Blue skies from wall to wall and so 10 feet tall.
The best time of year to live down here. I didn't mean to rhyme that.
Oh, of course you did. He's still got his mind on that Christmas song. Next week, you have a Christmas song for us? Come on, come up with something for us, Eric. Do a little something.
I could throw something out.
Yeah, throw something out there. Put something together for us, you know. Yeah. See what you can come up with. We'll see it. Okay. All right. Now, that's the multiplier. Growth orientation. Develop yourself continually. And remember, as I said, day after day, develop yourself exactly as if you were in an intense competition. And the reality is, you are. Finally, the final step. Become action-oriented. Don't just do it. Do it now. Do it now. Overcome procrastination. Overcome putting it off. Get started immediately on the things that are important for you right now, Albert. Do it right now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. You can even say that to yourself when you're looking at something. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Don't just do it. Do it now. If you keep saying it to yourself, you'll do it. If you say, do it now. Okay, I've got to do it. Do it now. If you've got to write a note for something, do it now. Don't put it off because you won't write it. If you've got to pick up a book, hey, go do it now. You won't do it. Do it now. Overcome procrastination. Create a new habit of doing it now. Action orientation. Now, if you use these seven key mental traits that you can exercise, and by thinking this way, these are mental push-ups. Okay, there you have it. These are mental push-ups. Like we all would do physical push-ups, we do physical crunches, and we develop muscles. Well, when you start thinking this way and you use these mental orientations that we've talked about over the last 5 weeks, you're going to get mentally stronger. You're going to take charge of your life. You are going to be the boss. Isn't that what you want? You want to control the direction of change. You want to go. You want to grow through life, not just go through life. You want to realize the importance of small changes that are under your control. You want to realize how important they are, taking charge of your life. Well, this is some of these are some of the things we talk about on the Power Hour. You know what I want you to do, gang, just to help me out? You know, all you guys that are listening to me right now, guys and gals, I want you to tell a friend. Tell someone you know who you think might benefit from listening. That's the only way we're going to grow. And we want to keep growing right here on the internet every single week. And if you like it, you probably know someone else who will like it as well. So tell your friend. Jot them off an email. Say, hey, listen, I was listening to something on the internet the other day. Go to MacNewton.com. And right on the front page, let me just see what it looks like here. Let me just get this thing up here on my screen. Let's see, how do I do this thing here? I can do it. I mean, I'm not really a computer genius, but I can get this thing going. Yeah, here we go, right here. There it is. So when you look at my screen, first thing you're going to see is, well, of course, there's a little picture of me. that picture was taken in my backyard, actually. And we kind of trimmed it out and stuck it in there. It was a nice sunny day. Looks like it was starting a studio. My friend Karen Schell shot that picture. Well, anyway, you're going to look over to the right-hand side, and you'll see Power Hour. It says the Mac Newton Power Hour is now available online to MacNewton.com members. It says listen live. Just click on that. That will take you. Let me see. Where does it take you? It just takes you right to the Power Hour page, and it has the show up December 4th, the show from last week, monologue, leadership, topic, 3-2 information, and how to be a winner, the finale of that. Okay, so you click on that, and that's going to take you right to that, the last show. But if you're a member, you can log in, and you can download and listen to all the other previous Power Hour shows. And once we change our format and create insiders, you'll have access to a library of over 300 Power Hour shows over a 7-year period that you'll be able to download. It is going to be an amazing concept, and hopefully this is going to be available for you guys by mid-February or early March. We're going to have segments, 15 to half hour segments that you can download on your iPod or even get sent to you in the mail in the form of a CD. I want to do everything we can. We want to make this MacNewton.com website the place where winners go to. Tell your friends to tune in and to turn on and tune in to the Power Hour and to all the winning attitudes that exist on MacNewton.com. Also, we have what's called MacNewton On, which are over 50 essays that are written that you can read and send to people. Information on Newton Fitness and, of course, Newton Taekwondo. The 3-2 Eating Plan in tremendous detail. And you can even buy books and some current CDs in our online store. Also, you can go back and even get or register for our newsletters, which comes out every 2 or 3 months, which are very, very interesting. But right now, if you want to read past one, just go on the newsletters, click on that icon, and go on the website and just read all the newsletters that are available there. Some interesting topics and encouraging stories of people who have overcome obstacles that have allowed them to become healthy and lose weight, and things that you can do as well. So tell your friends about it. We're going to be making some tremendous efforts to bring you a result-oriented website that can be an active part in your successful life. But we want you to share it with other people. I want you to feel that you've got a place to go to make yourself more successful. Now, I'm going to tell you real quick a true story, because we're coming down here to our final few minutes. I think it's like about 6 minutes, 5 minutes before the hour. But I want to start out. I told you we're going to get a start on our new topic. Our new topic for next week is going to be quantum leaps. But to start that up, I want to tell you a very true story that will give you something to think about between now and then. I'm sitting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm sitting in a little side room in a house that's over 200 years old. that I guess was there pre, I mean, well, maybe even older than that, because it was there. Thank you, Eric. It was there prior to the Revolutionary War. We're talking in a very old a segment of Philadelphia, a very old restaurant, and it's on the end of a cobblestone street. And I was going to do a speech to a company called the Key Corporation. And I'm sitting there looking at the window, and it was hidden back, and I could look out the window and see across the road the trees, and it was a very old building. I'm listening to a desperate sound of life and death going on just a few feet away from me in the window. There's a small fly, and it's just burning out the last of its short life, all the energy it might have in its short little life, in an attempt to fly through the window. It's trying to fly through the glass of the window, Eric, and I can hear it. It's baiting up against the window. We've all heard the sound. It's very futile. The wings, the whining sound of the wings, tell this story of the fly's strategy. Try harder, try harder. Now we know what's gonna happen to the fly, don't we? What are the chances of the fly flying through that window, Eric?
Zero.
None. There's absolutely no chance that fly's gonna get through the window. Zero. And I know where that fly's gonna end up because I look down in the window pane at the bottom of the window. And I see dust and the carcasses of other flies. And I think, oh, my brother, you are so stupid. There's no way you're going to change. Try harder. Try harder. That's that fly strategy. Every part of the fly's instinct says try harder. But it's not going to work. It's not ever going to work. All of this frenzied effort offers no hope for survival. Ironically, the struggle is part of the trap. And it's impossible for the fly to try hard enough to get through the glass. Nonetheless, this little insect is staking its life on reaching its goal through just sheer raw effort and determination. Fly is doomed. Fly is doomed. Not going to work. It's going to die right there on the windowsill. However, across the room, maybe 10 steps away, the door is open. 10 seconds maybe of effortless flight. And that small creature can reach the outside world with only a fraction of the effort that it's expending now. It would be free from this trap. It would be so easy. But why doesn't the fly try another approach? Why doesn't it do something different? It can't. It can't. It's driving from instinct. But you know what? We do the same thing. We just set ourselves up to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Trying harder isn't necessarily the solution. In fact, that may be the trap. It may not offer any real promise. Sometimes it's a big part of the problem. We have to figure out a different way to do it. Sometimes we got to try 180 degrees in the opposite direction where the door is open, and all we have to do is walk right through the door. More on that coming next week. More on how to turn around and do something completely different. To quit like the fly banging our head up against the wall and do something different. Easing us back into the Christmas season. Let me see that CD cover there. See who we got here. I think this is Frank McComb on piano. Yeah, it is. Christmas Day. It's coming soon. What is it, Natasha? You said, was it 2 weeks away now? 2 weeks away on the 25th. Well, gang, I hope your Christmas season is going as smooth as mine. I hope you're as optimistic and as happy about what's going on in our world and all the opportunities that are available for us. It's time now for you to get busy making your fortune and laying the groundwork for the happiness in your world. I want, as I said, I want to read your books. I want to go to your movies. Hey, gang, as it is every week at this time, it's time for me to say, be true to yourself. Make sure your words and your behaviors match. And as usual, I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock, who got this whole thing started, to Pac McMahon, the expert, the master of radio, to my original partner in crime, JC up in San Francisco, and of course to the fabulous Natasha. Say goodbye to everyone, Natasha.
Goodbye, everyone.
And hopefully next week you'll feel better. And of course to Eric behind the glass. It's always a pleasure, my man.
My pleasure, too.
And you know what? We're looking forward to that Christmas song you're going to come up with for next week.
Don't hold your breath.
Oh, no. Trust me, folks. He'll come up with something for us. And my name is Mac Newton, and I'll be back here with you, God willing, to make sure I bring another Power Hour show for you guys. Happy Christmas season. Happy holidays. 3, 2, 1. Peace. The Mac Daddy is out.